Portland Trailblazers have a back-to-back against the Houston Rockets. 0-1 so far on a difficult road trip for the hometown team. They take on the 11-5 Rockets tonight and then have another one before embarking further on this swing. You mentioned something at the top of the show. This is the biggest dog Portland has been in Vegas all season long.
Yeah, 12.5 points.
Wow.
Yeah. I would imagine that means Jeremy's not going to go.
Yep. We got the injury report. Jeremy Grant, illness.
Yeah. And there's stuff floats around through the team. And what you do is you keep them as far away from the rest of the team as humanly possible.
Yeah, good luck with that.
You go, oh, please, God, no, don't let it infest the entire team, because then the entire team's sick. And this happens around the league, and you can see it. It's not something that's predictable, but if you know that a team is sick, that's typical when you start seeing lines like this of like, yeah, they're going to run out of gas.
So you're saying NBA teams are like elementary schools?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. I mean, they're just with each other all the time.
Well, when you put them on a germ tube and fly them across the country everywhere, and you're the team that travels the most than any other team in the NBA.
And then you stick them all next to each other on the bench.
Yeah.
Stick all next to each other. And look, visiting locker rooms are like the size of our studio.
Mm.
Not very big.
And they're very big humans in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Squirrel moment. Did you see the video of Boban at the hotel?
No.
Boban Marjanovic, all 7'3" of him. He was at a hotel where his head was literally through the ceiling. Like, it has ceiling tiles. Like, he could not stand up in the room without his head going up and, like, pushing the ceiling tiles out of the way.
Did he have handfuls of goldfish?
No, but Zach Edey was on the bench for the Grizzlies of the day eating the Smart Pop Costco popcorn. He could not get his whole hand in the bag.
See, what do they do with mini bags? Like, those guys, you just have to drink them.
That's what he had.
He could only get, like,
three fingers in there.
Yeah, that would be really tough about being that enormous of a human being. Yeah, yeah. What's a shot glass look like in Boban's hand?
The same way as, like Andre the Giant.
Yeah, it's like, it does, probably looks like a thimble.
Yeah. Hyken took a picture of me next to Boban last year when we were both watching a game in the media room, and just the sheer size difference is one of, like, the wilder things I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God.
You guys are
like
from the same planet.
Yep.
That beer can in Andre the Giant's hand, it looked like one of those 6.5-ounce soda cans.
Those little tiny ones.
Yeah.
Back to the Blazers. They're playing the Houston Rockets tonight. They're big-time dogs. If Jeremy's being put on, talk to him. Sounds like he's going to try to give it a go. Feeling better.
Respiratory illness?
Yeah, chest stuff. That sounds like that's mostly kind of squared away, but he did jam his hand in practice or in shoot around the other day. So he's got listed as a right hand sprain.
Okay.
Basically got a finger jammed.
Okay.
But Scoot is also questionable. So one of them might have to go. That's why Tanzay Moore and
quad contusion, by the way.
Justin Minaya, they both left the Remix, who are making their home debut today and tomorrow, I believe. But they bolted out of Portland, and they joined the team day before yesterday, I think.
Well, that tells me wouldn't expect to see either of them then.
Or at least one of them.
Boy.
So,
all right.
That way you have the – Tanzay would be kind of your break glass in case of emergency point guard.
Okay.
So I think that's a big part of this. And if you're looking for this game, like, stylistically and kind of what to expect, Houston plays a very similar brand of basketball to Portland. They're ugly. They can't really shoot. They wear you out. They have a bunch of wings that are just going to bludgeon you to death. Tari Eason is there to Monte Kamara. Like, they are just the spirit animals of each other.
224.5 seems like a high point total for these teams then.
Weirdly enough, Houston has scored over 100 or over 105 in every game, even though if you look at, like, the effective field goal percentage, or let's take a look at half-court offenses. Portland's the worst half-court offense in the NBA by an order of magnitude. They are dead last. They score 85.1 points per 100 possessions, which is god-awful. Okay. To contrast that, the Cleveland Cavaliers score 108.9 points per possession, or points per 100 possessions.
Okay? They're number one.
They're number one. That's a 23-point gap. That's
Blazers bad at offense.
It's like, that's tremendous. But
what's the difference between one and two?
108.9, 108.0. So a point.
Okay, so I think this is just how bad the Blazers are.
But here's the thing. Houston's not that much better. They're at 91.7. They are 25th in the NBA.
So they're just creating more possessions?
Basically is what it's going to come down to. Because while Portland is the number four offensive rebounding team in the league, Houston is number one.
Okay.
That's where they make their hay.
Battle of Wills.
Yes. And you talk the Rockets are the number three team in the league on putbacks, and they create the most putback opportunities. They also play in transition. They also can't shoot. Like it's very much a bit of a Spider-Man meme of like pointing back at each other because they're very similarly built.
Yeah, the big difference here is that one is 11-5, the other is 6-9.
And a lot of that has to do with they're further down in the process.
Yeah.
Like that's Alperen Şengün is a guy that they really like. Tari Eason is a guy they really like. Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith Jr. Like they've got a lot of dudes on this roster that they have a little bit more experience, a little bit more seasoning to them. And they've got some guidance with some veterans that make sense. Dylan Brooks can't hit the broadside of a barn, but weirdly enough, he's been their best three-point shooter this year. Not great, but eh. Fred VanVleet, Steven Adams has been bad as a player, but when you're talking about like the sage in the locker room, you really can't do much better than him. He's just a good guy to have. But this, I think this is, it's a little interesting that Vegas is going this far on the spread, which kind of leads me to believe this might go sideways.
Ime trying to take it to his hometown team.
I mean, he likes to take it to everybody.
Yeah, that is true.
That's just kind of how he is. I think the bigger thing is just kind of looking like grand scheme at where things stand is, I hopped on with the guys from No Ceilings who do a bunch of draft and evaluation stuff, some of the best in the business. And we started talking about Donovan Clingan and Shaedon Sharpe. But then we got to Scoot Henderson and kind of got to the higher level stuff. And I started digging into kind of like, I kind of have a rule where I don't want to murder young guys. I want to give them some time.
That's a drop.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I want to give them some time. Let them marinate, right?
You guys, look, I'm going fast and furiously over here.
But I started looking at where Scoot, like the first five games of the season, right? Like, hey, no, they're showing some progress and some stuff here. Well, through 15 games, his points per shot attempt is exactly the same as last year, 96.4. That's a way kind of to measure efficiency. His assist rate is almost identical. It's up 1%. His turnover rate is up, which is not good. Okay, so you're talking about his points per shot attempt. He's in the bottom 10th percentile. His assist rate is league average. His turnover rate is one of the worst in the league. And I'm like, okay, well, let's take a look at his shooting. He's made an improvement as a rim finisher. Last year, he was one of the worst in the league at 46%. Okay, he was in the 7th percentile. This year, it's up to 55%.
Hey.
But that's the 31st percentile.
Well, improvement.
His three-point shooting has actually dropped off. He's currently 13 of 43 for 30%.
Well, I can see why his three-point shooting is going down because, one, teams are not guarding him at times because he gets into chucker mode where they just chuck up the ball at the hoop and you go, what was that?
Especially the off-the-dribble stuff. Like the three that he hit the other night.
Walk in,
just like literally walked into a comfortable three. It was like, oh, there you go. That's the shot you need to take.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And I think this is, we talked about with Scoot, the things that have, the negative reports that I've gotten all basically stem from one thing. He doesn't have a plan.
Well, because he went to a place that had no plan. Like, yeah. Everything that we just talked about, it's like what happens with the G League Ignite guys over and over and over again, right?
Jalen Green, who you'll see tonight for Houston, he started to show a little bit this year, and now if you look at like all of his splits, I mean, it's dog water.
What these guys went through in the G League Ignite, kind of that formidable gap year, or the formative gap year that you have where, you know, in college, college coaches still want you to progress down a path that makes team basketball make sense, right? And improve. What the G League Ignite turned into was just a bunch of guys saying, if it's not going right, I'm just going to play me ball because I got to get it right somehow, some way.
Mm-hmm. So it was semi-pro AAU.
It was brutal. And yeah. There's a reason why it doesn't exist anymore.
So if you look at like Jalen Green, who's one of those guards from G League Ignite, his effective field goal percentage has gone down basically every year. The one place where he's successful is at the rim. Everywhere else, whether you look at his mid-range, where he's currently in the 9th percentile, his three-point percentage, which he's in the 30th percentile. Like, does this sound familiar? Like, you take a look at all of these guys that have come from that Ignite program. Find me the success case. He's the best so far.
Yeah. The sample size is really small, but it was not working.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of guys, too, that were like, oh, yeah, and they'll go to the Ignite, and they'll go to the NBA. And then it turned out they couldn't do it at the Ignite level. And it was like, oh, no. This is like Dink Pate is currently playing in the G League because the Ignite went away.
Great name.
Right. He's playing down in Mexico City. And people are like, well, maybe he'll put it together. And it's like Ethan Amasa, who was going to go to, I believe it was UCLA. He ended up going to the Ignite. Now it's like, what is he doing? I think he went to OTE. But it's like they had so many guys. Babacar Sané was like another guy that was like, oh, no, he's built like a truck and like he'll be able to figure some stuff out. Tyler Smith, like he was a guy that people really liked. Oh, maybe he can be kind of like a Channing Frye kind of guy. He just plummeted in the draft. It was just like there hasn't been a success case to point to.
Because they had no big leagues or big leagues. They had no bigs in that league.
No.
Period. The G League has no bigs. Yeah. And that messes with you fundamentally in how you play the game of basketball.
Yeah. I mean,
even in a guard-centric league.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Hyken just wrote a big story on Sergi Oliva and what he's doing as the Remix head coach. They're using that as like an incubator right now of like just to try stuff. They're playing, I want to say, like four possessions faster than the next team in the G League right now. They're playing at breakneck pace. They're getting up 50-plus threes a game.
Yup.
They're using it like a test lab, like a NASCAR test facility for basketball. Like, hey, what if we do this? What if we do this? What if we do this? Is that a conducive place to grow players, or is that a conducive place to try ideas?
Try ideas.
And that's the thing. There's just so many different reasons why it went wrong.
And you're limited in the ideas you can try due to the lack of skill with the bigs. Because if you're 7 feet, you're in the NBA.
Yes. Like, they'll put you down there. Like, in Ibu Baji, you'll be down there every now and then. And then they're like, okay, we're going to bring you back up because we're going to have you practice with the big team because we want the 7-foot-1 guy to get some reps with the big club. Like, that's – size is the scarcest commodity in the NBA. So with Scoot, I'm not saying I'm out on him. I think I'm officially out on the star level stuff. But if you're, like, watching for the improvement, for as much as everybody – and this isn't me being the ant guy. This is just me looking at the numbers. As bad as Anfernee Simons has been this season, he has been bad. It's the worst stretch of his career. Scoot has been worse.
He's noticeably,
and that's the thing. Is
if
like,
you don't watch and see that, there's something wrong.
And that's where I kind of go.
Well, you have an axe to grind.
You have bias at that point. Like that, and that's where I'm like, look, if Ant was playing and continued to play this bad, and Scoot is just guys, he's cooking. Somebody's got to sit Ant down and be like, hey man, the kid's got it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing is he hasn't shown that. He hasn't had – and everybody's like, oh, he hasn't had the opportunity. I'm like, Chauncey Billups has given Scoot Henderson every opportunity imaginable. He's allowed him or tried to allow him to close – God, I don't even know how many games. And there's been just times where he just hasn't been able to do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, screw it. Banton, over here. And I think it's like – again, I'm not trying to kill the kid, but if you're – he needs to – over the next couple of months, he needs to start showing markers – of having the thing, because I'll say the same thing about him that I said about Zach Collins. What does he do every night that gets him on the court? Real quick, what does Scoot do that gets him on the court? Other than the franchise investment, what is the skill that he brings to the floor?
Effort.
I mean, just
well, sometimes we talked about his long stretches of his lackadaisical play.
And that's the thing is, like, he can't afford to not be a low energy guy or to be a low energy guy. He has to bring that juice, and there's been times he hasn't done that.
And if you think that he's not getting a chance, he plays on average 26 minutes a night this season. Last year he played 28 minutes a night. So, yeah, he's getting ample opportunity.
Yeah. So it just I hope he starts putting it together. Now, look,
Magic Johnson.
Yeah. Look, I want to see him do that because he's flashed that every now and then. But Donovan Klingon has played 15 games in his career. And in 15 games, he's already had more moments than Scoot has had in 70-plus games.
No doubt about it.
That's the thing. Is like usually by now, you start to see like, I'm not asking him to be a finished product. That's dumb. He's 20 years old. He's a kid. But like the whole idea of this is like he should have and would continue to show flashes. Like my whole thing is I want to see, and you don't see it in kids particularly, is the consistency. But give me a game where 80% of the game he's consistent. And if that's the case, then you could go, okay. Because
currently he's playing over half a game.
And the thing is like Anthony Simons in his rookie year, even under the stupid extenuating circumstances that was game 82 and Dave Yeager going, screw it, I'm going to do this. From the second that game got on, him and Gary Trent Jr. went nuclear and you went, oh, those guys have a future in the NBA.
Yeah. Well, and also nobody, like there was virtually no tape on Ant at that point too.
But I mean.
And nobody saw that coming, but yeah. No,
when given the opportunity
for those. I'm
basically
just arguing for arguments. No, I'm saying,
but like with any player in the NBA, usually through a season, when given the opportunity, you have that moment or moments, and we have yet to see that from Scoot. And that's my biggest hang up on this. That's where, look, if he starts to do it next week, hell, he does it tonight, if he comes back, I'll be right back there and like, hey, I had it wrong. But if you look at like, the way this stuff is borne out over history, it just doesn't look good right now.